You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Okay, right. So Pastor Dave now has to wake up, because you know what happens is when we start doing the shows, he puts the headphones on and then he turns them off so he can't hear us, and he nods off.
Yeah, I catch him sometimes. His eyes closed over there.
You know, I got my foot near his shin, you know, and he's got a permanent nudge in that one shin.
That's why I've been drinking coffee.
Trying to stay awake.
You're trying to stay awake.
How old is that coffee?
Not as old as I am.
All right, class, write this number down. This is important. I tell you that every week, but the only reason I'm telling you that every week, because a lot of us are old, especially Pastor Dave and Vincenzo.
Oh, no, I'm not old, Joe. You're only as old as it's a number, Joe. It's only a number.
You know, but when it's double high digits, that's old, old.
Well,
that's
then right. You'll tell me all about that.
What's your name again?
I don't know.
1-888-221-8990. That is toll-free from any place. We have CPA extraordinaire, forensic CPA, Vincenzo. No, it's not Vincenzo. It's really Vincent.
Vincent. Yeah, my grandfather called me Vincenzo.
He wanted you to be Vincenzo.
He's the only one.
But
yeah.
Vincent Rizzino. Mm. We have a special guest attorney here, Alan Love. We got Pastor Dave moderating. We got Pastor Tom sitting at the thing trying to stay awake, waiting for a phone call. So,
no, actually, he's been very awake.
Is he awake out there now?
Yeah, I see him.
You can see him?
He's looking at the computer terminal right now.
Uh-huh. Is he got his head in his chin in his hand?
No, I don't think so.
No? We got to report, you know, keep these things. So, listen, you'll do us a favor if you call. That will definitely keep him awake. Because he has to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's an annoying phone ring.
That's why it is that way. But that's the good ones. Because you have to get them.
You have to answer it, or it drives you crazy.
Back in about 2004, and we don't know exactly, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martech, financial advisor, started doing radio shows. And the concept was simple. Joe Martech has lots of clients here and in 13 other states because of referrals and people moving, et cetera. But clients ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. And in my not too humble opinion, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. So we started the group off with an attorney, Greg Fasula, who happens to be the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy. Even Alan Love, I'd like him to be at least three doors down, you know, but you know, not quite right next door. I could put maybe an accountant in between two attorneys. That would be quite a good scenario.
That would be crushing.
The sound of crunching numbers would keep you awake all night.
Yeah.
So the reason we had to have an attorney on the show, because when I first meet new suspects and prospects, I talk about wills and trusts, because cart and horse, I feel, are somewhat important in life. And people that haven't done that, I kind of feel I should be stirring the pot and making people do things that are in the best interest of their entire family. So we started doing the radio shows, and then over a period of time, some things changed, and especially when the recession, our great recession, hit, added Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, has only been in real estate since 1978. And for a 30-year-old woman, this is a miracle. But
it is. You know, she looks great.
Yeah, just ask her. She'll tell you. And if you don't say that, you're going to hurt you. Anyway, and then we also added Mr. Mike Polis, mortgage broker, and the two are hand in glove, because the education that we've gotten from Mike and from Victoria going through this recession was pretty staggering. So it's important
stuff. I wish he was here today, because he was lamenting about the lack of tax relief in the latest IRS announcements. So we have an update to that. Really good stuff.
So then what happened is Mr. Vincent Rosino, right. CPA, forensic CPA, used to be college professor.
But not at Columbia.
Is going to start espousing.
I'm just going to bring the listeners up to date on the latest tax relief.
So what is?
You want me to get into it now?
Now it is. You're on.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
He said he wanted 5 minutes without me interrupting.
Yes, without you interrupting.
Have I ever gone 5 minutes without interrupting?
Never.
That's what I thought.
And that's why I warned you in advance.
Don't want me to put him on the clock?
You better time me. You got me timing me?
Pastor Dave, be careful. Be lenient. Anyway,
we
were talking a couple of shows actually about how the IRS had allowed extensions of time because of Hurricane Irma and Harvey and all these, had allowed extensions of time for your personal income tax, some corporate payroll taxes, corporate income taxes, allowing companies and individuals to delay or defer filing and paying until January 31st. And Mike, among other people, called me and said, well, you know, all this relief, but it seems if for example, if you need to take money out of a IRA or another pension plan, that you're still going to be subject to a 10% penalty if you're under 59 and a half when you take it. I said, I don't know. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous. It's like having to pay taxes on unemployment insurance. The whole idea, you're unemployed, and then the insult to injury, you got to pay taxes on the income potentially. So anyway, the good news here to report to the listeners is that on Monday, President Trump signed, he signed this disaster tax relief bill, which I think covers pretty much the rest of these things. And this is really good stuff, I think, for most people who got horrendously affected by the hurricanes. For example, there was and is in the law a requirement that you had to exceed 10% of your income with your losses, casualty losses. So if somebody had loss to their house, they had damage, and their insurance company didn't pay for all of it, and they had to be out of pocket under the existing law, you'd have any of those losses to the extent of 10% of your income you couldn't take.
So you made
$100,000, and you had the first $10,000 of losses you couldn't deduct.
Wow. So if you had a $10,000 deductible on your homeowners.
And you paid that out of pocket, and you had $100,000 of combined income on a joint return or singly over $100,000, you couldn't deduct.
Wow.
Well, under this tax relief bill signed into law, you can now take that without the 10% consideration. And it even goes one step further than that. That you don't even have to itemize your tax return in order to take that loss. Wow. You know, was before, because of this 10%, it was in the pot of itemized deductions.
Sure.
But they've taken it out of that realm and said you can now take it as a above-the-line deduction, which is a tremendous relief to people who had property damage and out of pocket. The other thing is, there was things regarding the retirement plans. There were people, for example, that took money, Joe, out of their retirement plans in order to fund a home purchase. And because of the hurricane, the deal fell through or got postponed and delayed. Well, the IRS is saying they're going to allow you to put the money back in without any consequence. So if you took it out, you could put it back in and not have to pay the tax on a withdrawal. If it was an IRA withdrawal or if it was a loan, you'd be able to put it back without any penalty associated with that.
Did they put a time frame on putting it back?
Yes, I think most of these things go to the January 1st.
That's pretty good. It's very generous.
It is. And also, there's more flexibility in the loans. You know, most of the 401k plans have loan provisions in them, and they're pretty stringent. Usually, if you take a loan from a 401k, you can't take another one for 6 months. Most of them are written that way. I think that's the law, actually. You can't take another one. So you take one, you're stuck for 6 months, you can't do it again. Well, under this flexibility that's being allowed under this new law, you can essentially take more than one if you happen to take one in June or July, let's say, or August, and now you need to take another one because of the hurricane, that you find that to be more amenable to you, more flexible to you.
Nice.
So that is part of this new disaster law. And also, this is also very good for those people in a generous and contributing mood. You know, there's a limitation on how much you're allowed to deduct for charitable contributions. Normally, it's either 40% or 50% of your income. That's the limit on how much you can give to a charity. This law is now lifting that limit, so you can give whatever you want to charity to help, like the Red Cross or other places like that, charitable organization.
Now that still becomes a tax deduction too, right?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It's a deduction to the full amount. You're not limited anymore this year for those, because you were limited to 50% of your income in most cases.
Question. Now I'm jumping in because of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So money given to the radio station is a tax deduction.
Yes, it's a 501c3 or other charity. Yes.
So now if I made like $100,000 a year and I wanted to give $40,000, I could, but over and above that, I couldn't declare it as a deduction.
Yeah, it'd have to be carried over in a sense. Yes.
But now I can't.
Now you can't take it all in 1 year. So they could. So if you had $100,000, you wanted to contribute $100,000, you could, and there'd be no limit on how much you could contribute.
Now you have to have earned income, or can it be passive income?
It doesn't matter. It's income. It doesn't make any difference. It's income.
Great.
So that's going to help. It's going to help those charities and also not-for-profits, I guess, who are registered and recognized as a non-for-profit by the IRS.
Wonderful.
So that's all goodness. Two other things. One is for those lower income people who had the earned income credit, and you know the earned income credit is based on earned income. Well, for those people this year who lost their jobs because of the hurricane or other reasons, under this law, they could take the prior year's earnings and use that to calculate the current year's earned income, income credit.
So how does that, give an example. Let's say I made $50,000 last year.
Well, your maximum might be, it might be $2,500 of credits.
This year,
you don't make that income. This year, you make $20,000,
right,
which normally you might have been subject to a $600 or $800 credit. Well, now you go back to the...
And pick up last
pick
year's
up
credit.
Last year's credit.
There you go.
Because
nice.
You don't have to be limited to the current year's earned income.
Nice.
So that's all goodness. And finally, for businesses out there, I thought this was very, very generous. And it's basically allowing companies that were inoperable because of the hurricane. They were inoperable. In other words, they had employees, they paid employees,
but they were shut down.
The IRS under this law is going to allow us, or the government's allowing companies to take up to 40% of the wages paid to those people during the period of inoperability to a maximum of $6,000 per employee. So it could be $2,400 per employee.
Take that as what?
As a credit. Now that's even, think about it. It's not a deduction, which is subject to your bracket. If you're in a 20% bracket, every dollar of deduction gives you 20%. Whereas if you have a credit of a dollar,
it comes right off the tax, dollar for dollar.
So that's the difference between a credit and a deduction.
Nice.
So basically they're allowing a credit. It's called a, what exactly do they call this credit? This is called what? Whatever. It's doesn't matter what it's called at the moment. It's basically for employees.
Nice.
Of companies that were inoperable due to the storm. And so you could take a credit up to 40%, up to 6,000 of wages, which could mean 2,400 per employee.
So that's for the company owner,
or the company itself, whatever it is. The key is the period of inoperability. So you had to be not.
But they could be inoperable for a month or maybe even longer, because it really depends on the devastation, how much was hit. It isn't necessarily just the loss of power or water or whatever.
Exactly. And that's a subject to some regulation, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's the overall arching concept, is that if you were inoperable for that period and you were paying your employees, that for the period of time you're paying them, you're going to be eligible for this credit.
Well, it's kind of nice. So then our president is trying to help people through this rough time. And, there are just a lot of people that have been having an awfully rough time.
And that goes to January 1st, too, Joe.
Yep.
So for companies that are still inoperable.
Yeah.
And by the way, it also, the way I understand it, it's not just for people affected, for your employees that were, say, in Florida and couldn't work, but even if you sent those employees to another state, then you're still eligible for this credit.
Nice. So
it's really very good. It was one of the better things I've seen come down the pike for companies to help them in this time.
1-888-221-8990. If you need any clarification on that, this is a good time to call. 1-888-221-8990. And esteemed Juris Doctor, didn't you have a question or something you were gonna?
Yeah, I was. Uh,
I was going to ask you, Vince, we're now in the final quarter of the year. So do you have any advice to people that they can start preparing to prepare their taxes and get things in order? What would you basically advise in the fourth quarter as we're winding down the year?
There's the classic things, which we'll go over in a minute, but more importantly, the very things that I just went over. If you're a business, you need to start gathering up those statistics for those employees that were affected so you can maximize the credit. So you want to start looking at that. In terms of your casualty losses, you want to gather up that information. You know, what did it cost you to rebuild? What did you get reimbursed for? What was not reimbursed? What is your real loss? You need to start gathering that stuff so that you'll be prepared to take those deductions.
You know, Pastor Tom's got 15 post caps that are missing.
Post caps will mean on his teeth?
No, on his fence on the backyard. Oh.
Okay.
Well, that no, up, the other thing know, is,
that so I wonder if his wind deductible doesn't pay for his post caps.
Not fair wind.
I wonder if it would also include the PVC glue he has to buy now to put those things on so they stay on.
Well, if he didn't get reimbursed for all that,
yeah,
and it was due to the hurricane, I suppose that's part of.
So does he have to apply to FEMA?
Oh, I don't know. That's a whole different animal than the tax law.
I thought you knew everything. You're a CPA.
No, I don't know everything.
He didn't take a fencing class in college.
No, fencing class, right?
Thank you.
1-888. Way to go, Dave. You're not asleep
touché,
after all.
No. Touche.
1-888-TUCHI-TUCHI. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Well, I'll tell you, isn't that nice when you get Uncle to actually help people, except rhetoric when you hear it on TV and stuff. I don't pay much attention to what I hear, but when you get it in print and it goes to CPAs and it goes into tax code, we know something is real.
Yeah.
Now, was that an executive order or was that?
No. This was passed by the Congress and signed by President Trump on Monday.
Nice. Sure didn't get much publicity, did it?
Well, no. You see, for the longest time, it was held up in the Congress because of the the bipartisanship or lack of bipartisanship.
But then when all these disasters really hit, then they had really no choice. They've got to do these things.
Absolutely. And I think I haven't ever seen anything like it, Joe.
No,
unbelievably good.
Kind of surprising. Yeah, it was as we were listening today that, Puerto Rico's in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. And our president got up and made a thing about these bonds that the Puerto Ricans have. They might just be gone. Gonna have to eat them.
They had to walk that back today from what I understand.
I guess. Well, you shouldn't be
mentioning. The White House said, wait a minute. We don't know if we can.
You can't say Goldman Sachs is going to eat all these things.
Those of you that are not
in the business, this is like inside jokes because normally you hear politicians very careful about what they say, and they never mention the name of a company, definitely. And an underwriter going back into it makes it even more exciting. Anyway.
Besides that, Joe, one last point about that, which he probably didn't even realize. Most of that debt that they owe is in the form of bonds. They are municipal bonds.
Yeah.
And you know who invested in those municipal bonds? Not just Goldman Sachs.
Pension funds
mostly
like crazy.
Pension funds, individuals in Puerto Rico. So if you're going to make all that debt go away, you're going to hurt a lot of
people. Well, they were
saying
there's 3 million people in Puerto Rico, and a ton of people in Puerto Rico bought these bonds because it's their country.
Exactly.
And pension funds, nobody knows what is inside pension funds. Pension funds, bonds, they love pension funds, love bonds, especially high yield, quote, bonds.
Oh, yeah, long-term stuff.
So that was, I thought him say that, and I thought, boy, the repercussions should be interesting. So, Pastor.
I came in to check on you to see if you were behaving. But I know better.
You know better, right?
We had a call from Eileen in Jensen Beach. She didn't want to go on the air. She wants to know what are the procedures to set up an online store. She wants to sell some herbal supplements and things and stay straight with the IRS.
Okay, well, let's start from the beginning. She needs to figure out what form of entity she wants to operate under. Because each one has its own unique advantages and disadvantages. For example, whether she's a C-Corp, an S-Corp, an LLC, a partnership, or a sole proprietorship. But most importantly, with these onlines, got to be careful with sales tax. So because the state of Florida, as many other states, realizing that a lot of these online sales are not getting taxed appropriately, and people are not picking up. There's two things to consider with sales tax. One is paying, if you buy it online and you have it shipped into Florida, in theory, the seller is supposed to collect the sales tax. Most of the times, a lot of them don't collect the sales tax.
She has an exception, though. Because what he said was, and this one ripped through real quick, herbal products.
Well, herbal products, it depends.
They're exempt if they are.
If they are, yeah. If they're herbal products, yes. Then
are exempt from sales
tax. If they're exempt from the sales tax, then you don't have that issue.
Right.
I was just thinking online sales. But other than that,
sold anything except herbal products or medicinal, well, you can't be medicinal.
It wouldn't be medicinal.
Then you are subject to sales tax. And just as a minor aside, the government really frowns on people that don't pay sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Especially here in Florida, we don't have an income tax.
I know people that have gone to jail, literally, because it's not their money. That was money collected, paid by somebody else, and somebody kept it instead of sending it where it's supposed
to
go.
Well, the flip side
grand theft.
Flip side is Joe, there's something called a use tax.
Yeah.
The use tax is if you didn't pay it when you bought it, if you're using it here in Florida, have a use tax.
There's some catch-22s, but the reality is this. Over a period of time, I think we all know that this exemptions and sales tax have never been exempt. What they are saying is, well, because we're in Michigan, we're not charging you sales tax because you're in Florida, but you are supposed to go and file it yourself legally.
Yes.
Now, I get, so much for that.
Exactly. Well, that's like in New York, they make a voluntary payment of the use tax, essentially, with your return.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's a box. And you tell them, I didn't purchase anything that I didn't pay any tax on.
So you're,
or
you're,
you said I did, and here's how much I spent, and so here's the money.
So then they ask you to lie right on the form, and literally.
Exactly.
That's what they're saying.
The problem is it's not auditable, Joe. Think about it. Yeah. People who buy online typically buy with a credit card.
Yeah.
And when they'd have to go into you, ask for all your credit card statements and audit every line item.
I would say this. If the Infernal or any state agency got a bit of a hair and wanted to get you, they would.
They could.
I mean, let's face it. And I look at how many people buy everything on Amazon or other online stuff. Almost everybody's buying stuff online.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Amazon, they had a big settlement with the state of Massachusetts a couple of years back, $500 million or something with the state because they didn't charge sales tax, and they should have.
Mm.
So they're all because the big boys know about it, and they're doing something about it. Some of the other retailers, not
at some point, it's going to happen because there's way too much money not being collected, and it's not that difficult for these merchants to collect it. You just have to know which state and what the rate is, and then you collect it. But hey, they all complain about that and say, oh, it's more accounting work and only makes CPAs happy. What are you grinning for, Vince?
I'm grinning because, I'm not like somebody else I know who...
when
you talk about probate.
When we talk probate, we love to pick on Greg Fasula because if we had a TV here and we could actually watch what happens, when I say the word to poor Greg, he knows I'm going to set him up and he can't help himself. He has to grin.
That's right. But answer this woman to come back full circle. She really, if sales tax is not an issue for her, then she needs to talk about the form of organization and also talk about if you're selling product like that, do you have liability? And is there insurance requirements on those kind of product sales? And you should be looking.
Stay with that right away. If I walked into your door and I said, hey, I want to start up an online herbal company and I'm going to either mix my own or buy them from a factory and I'll put my own label on them or whatever I want to do, and then I'm going to retail them online, I'm going to do a website, what kind of entity should I start?
Well, I would say normally in that case I'd set up definitely a corporate entity,
right?
Maybe depending on whether you have partners, if you're by yourself.
Well,
If it's just you, I'd probably go with an S corporation.
Why would I go a corp rather than a sole proprietorship?
Well, the sole proprietorship, there's no corporate veil with a sole proprietorship. What do I mean by that? It, when you're incorporated, it provides a level of protection for you. So if somebody wanted to sue you, they'd have to first attack the corporation and the corporate assets before they could ever think about getting to you. So a corporation would provide you with that level of a corporate veil. And Schedule C sole proprietor doesn't have a corporate veil.
So that's the main thing by setting up a, let's say, a subchapter S or LLC company.
Yeah, well, the subchapter S, so if you want to go LLC, the LLC is a hybrid, actually, between a partnership and an S corporation. What that means is, or a partnership, I should say, what it means is that you fall under the partnership rules, tax rules,
right,
but you have a corporate veil over it. So you take a typical partnership, which has its own set of tax rules, you put a corporate veil over it, now you have an LLC.
So what happens is, the first question is, okay, fine. If she was to talk to you one-on-one, you'd say, hey, are you bringing in partners? Is it you and your husband? Are you bringing in relatives? How are you going to establish your business? Then you would pick the entity
that best fits that
scenario.
That best
fits that. Yeah. And then it's called, the rest of the stuff would be doing the websites, et cetera. And there becomes either you or somebody else would advise on how to set up websites, or they could do it themselves. Or
well, the websites, there are plenty of people out there can help them with the website. Yep. We as accountants don't normally get involved with that, except for the estate.
Aside for her that she's listening, there are only X number of companies in America, and I don't know how many, that they make all of these herbal supplements almost for everybody. Mm-hmm. But you might give them the mixture, the concoction, and they will make them and bottle them and put your label on. And they do this for thousands of different companies and corporations. So that's a thing that she may or may not know. A little bit of research on her standpoint to find that out, because if she's got an herbal formula that's a winning formula, hey, good for her.
And the liability is a big thing, Joe. Well, I had a client that was selling an enhancement supplement for male prowess.
Uh-huh.
And they found out that it contained some what would be normally a prescription drug.
Uh-huh.
It had smatterings of it in there.
And it wasn't announced,
it wasn't disclosed.
Yeah, that could
got
be
into some serious trouble about that.
So one of the things she has to worry about is liability, product liability. There's also insurance to do these things. So now we're going to talk to somebody like Vince, and then we might be talking to somebody
like Dan Warren. He should be brought into the fold.
And
also,
you might even have a third person, which is called an attorney.
Yeah.
So at least you, and probably two, and maybe three different approaches. Now, it depends. If she says, hey, I've only got $100 to start this with, I'm going to make one bottle and I'm going to sell it to my mother, get a different story. Right. But if you're going to start a real operation, you got another different story.
And there might be even a second attorney coming in. What if the formula is one that she might want to patent or trademark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He might have, and if she has a name she wants to copyright, which can be very valuable, you don't want to make up a name and then get all this publicity that's positive and have somebody steal it from you. So here we go again, another one, copyright attorney, patent attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on, and let's face it, there are people that stop with the guy that started the hula hoop, only made millions of dollars off of a crazy thing, but hey, you don't need to be a genius. Sometimes luck doesn't hurt, but if you structure that luck up front, properly, you can protect yourself from unforeseens.
There's a very, very popular show out now, Joe. You've probably seen it, called Shark Tank.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, in there, a lot of these concepts come to play. A lot of these things that come to the market are very simple. You say, well, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was the
exactly.
simplest thing, like the hula hoop. You know, somebody found a need.
Yeah.
They served the need, and they became very, very wealthy from it.
Thin optics.
There you go. There's another. Perfect. I mean, how about the guy who has, talking about glasses, the guy who sold the what turned out to be a magnet, and you could clip your glasses to your shirt.
There's all kinds of little things that people come up with. You know, hey, plaid shirts on pastors.
You know. You mind? Wow.
I call it our tablecloth shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you mind if I take a few seconds of rehearsal time for prayer and praise in 12 days? Our phone number is 888. 221-8990. Please call if you have any questions.
Now, what's that number again, by the way?
888-221-8990.
Speaking of prayer, I really think we should send a prayer out to all those people in Las Vegas and in Puerto Rico who have suffered those tragedies.
Absolute disasters you're talking about. When it's in fact, Pastor Dave, would you just lead us in a little prayer? Let's set some time aside to do that, because we should be doing that every show.
Definitely. Well, let's take some time, and we'll certainly pray for the folks in Las Vegas. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, and our hearts are heavy that this event has taken so many lives, has impacted so many more lives, has caused pain and suffering, not just in Las Vegas, but all over the country, all over the world. And we pray first for the families of those who've lost someone at this event. We pray for those who are recovering from their injuries. We pray for and thanksgiving for the first responders and all the others who came to assist them. And we pray in long term, Lord, for the anxiety and the frustration that people are feeling because they feel powerless. And Lord, the only way to feel power is to have your power in our lives. So we just pray that in this time of unrest and lostness and discomfort, that your Holy Spirit would put the mantle of peace upon all. And we thank you for the opportunity to pray for them. Let us keep them in prayer daily as we come to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. What's our phone number again here?
Yeah.
888-221-8990. And Vince, if we can continue on the theme of taxes for a few more minutes, you said sure. There are some things that a person should be doing now to prepare for Uncle Sam.
Well, absolutely. The first thing, you know, you want to look at, and this is probably right up you both of your alleys, it has to do with capital gains and losses and how you manage your gains and losses for the year. What I mean by that is, what happens if you have, for example, some short-term capital gain or capital losses, I should say, that you've carried over from a prior year, or you have long-term capital losses that you've carried over from a prior year. You may want to speak with your financial advisor and see if there are some offsets that maybe you could accelerate some capital gains into the year to take advantage of the losses you got carried over. Or in the case where you've actually sold things at a loss this year, and again, you may want to find offsets and look for things that have low tax basis that create the most capital gain for you so that you can use it to offset those things. The other thing is, and it's not so much here, but in states around us where you want to control how much of the tax deductions you can receive in a current year. For example, a taxpayer, cash basis taxpayer, only gets deductions for the cash payments that they make. So you may want to, if you're trying to, for example, medical is a perfect example. You know, there's a limit of how much you can deduct for medical expenses. It's 10% threshold for most people. So in other words, the first 10% of your income, you eat those out-of-pocket costs. You don't get to deduct it. So people who had cosmetic surgery, not even cosmetic surgery, but had other surgery where they had huge out-of-pockets, they may want to bunch it all up. I mean, it's getting a little late in the year. It is October, but if you have procedures that when added together with your other items would bring you over that threshold, you may want to consider doing it before year end, make the payments before year end. And the key is making the payments. Just because you owe the debt doesn't give you a tax deduction.
You gotta pay it, right?
You have to pay it. However, credit card payments are considered cash for that purpose.
Yeah.
So if you want to pay with a credit card, it's considered cash for purposes of a deduction. So you want to look at those things. You want to look at organizing your financial life so as to take advantage of losses that you might have on the capital side. You may want to make deductible payments in the current year when it becomes medical, or for that matter, taxes, charitable contributions, and the like. You want to try to get them all into the year when you have a lot of income. Now, the reverse would happen if you don't have a lot of income. If this is a year where you have little income, then you may want to postpone those things until the year when you can utilize those deductions best.
1-888-221-8990. Every week I get some, it's an interesting thing, Vince. We talk about this regularly. We've been around forever and ever and ever, but things keep coming up that don't happen every day, every week, every month. And today I was meeting with somebody that had an existing annuity contract, and like very often happens with people, they weren't necessarily misrepresented, but they weren't totally represented. So the people really didn't understand what they had. And this particular contract offered some good things, but they also were under the impression that the subaccounts that were available, which they didn't understand subaccounts, were going to actually do something very positive for them. And in the last 4 years, they haven't made any money. Little minor side effect. Then what I normally do if I'm sitting with somebody that has these questions, I don't give them my opinion. We call the company directly, and I know the questions to ask so that they can understand them. So literally, in my opinion, if we take 10 different products that are all on the surface the same, they all look the same. Well, of those 10, one stands out as the best one, and one stands out as the worst one, and then everybody else is someplace in the middle. So when I look at a financial advisor, his responsibility, as I see, is to pick the right product to fit that right person, but also to understand the goal of the person and make sure they understand what they're getting into. So here came the scenario today. This was an annuity contract that was called a variable annuity, which has on the left side investments, and then on the right side it had insurance. Well, the investments on some of these companies are very limited, very limited. They oftentimes mix heavily into bonds, and things that have mixed heavily into bonds for the last year or three have not as performed as well as the stock market has performed. So, and a lot of these, that is the only choices they have. People have to go into those. Is that necessarily a bad thing? No. But what happens is when you see the market go up 15 or 20%, which I've had clients that have done that this year, and then another person says, gee, I've got the same thing, but I went up 1%. How come? Well, that's because they didn't understand the underlying investments. So it's important to get educated. So when I talk to somebody, normally, as I say, I normally meet with people two or three times before we do business because I want them to understand what they're getting into, what their options might be, so they can say, hey, am I protected? Well, here comes the insurance factor. And there becomes critical. It's nice to make money. Everybody likes to make money. Nobody wants to lose money. But understand, insurance companies don't work for free. So they get paid. So this particular one was showing me how many fees were going out to the insurance company, which left her almost no profit, which frustrated her to no end, because now she's paying all this money in fees and not making a profit when everybody else is out there making a profit.
Yeah.
So education. You have to sit down with somebody and you have to learn the questions. Underlying investments become an important part. And very, very, very few people really understand how the underlying investments work. So like Alan and I talk almost every week about the Standard & Poor's 500. Standard & Poor's 500 is an index. It's an index of 500 of America's biggest companies. Just that simple. And they call it the benchmark in the industry, using it as a gauge to measure how everybody else does. So the bench, is that a fair analogy?
Yes, absolutely.
So how much is the S&P 500 up this year, Alan?
21%.
Okay.
It's phenomenal.
So if you started last December and you were now invested in nothing but the S&P 500, you'd be up give or take 20%. Even after fees, et cetera, that's probably where you would be. Now, in history, has the S&P 500 always gone up? No. Has it had some monster down years? Yes. So you literally, next year, that market could go all the way back down and you could give up every bit of that 21% because that has happened in history. Am I right, Alan?
Right.
I think the worst year I can remember, was it a 36% negative?
Well,
I'm trying to remember.
In 2008, I believe we were down in the 40s.
There you go. So what happens is there's nothing in the world that always goes up or always goes down. And one of the problems you've got is you, the consumer, you have to look at your goal, what's your time frame, how much time do you have, and can you ride these roller coaster to your advantage? So what happens is very often an insurance company says, okay, we'll come along and we're going to add some insurance that once a year will lock in values based on certain criteria. So here's the bottom line that I try to get through to people. What's your goal? What are you looking to accomplish? What's your risk tolerance? How much are you willing to risk? How, you know, like when you're 40 years old and you think you've got 25 more years to work, your risk tolerance should be much higher than somebody that's 75 years old that is done working and retired, and what they're looking is just to get an income. So you got to weigh both sides of the coin. So I love insured investments. Love them, love them, love them. Understand insurance companies don't work for free, but if you have a good financial advisor that puts you into the right products, that handles the investments properly, and then explains how the insurances work and how the insurance companies make money, and then you get this vehicle, you've won. When I watch these, quote, errors and omissions, mm-hmm. where you, the consumer, were not told the whole truth, it isn't that you were lied to, you just weren't told everything because you didn't ask, because you also didn't know what the question was.
That's called an error of omission, Joe, but isn't that just as bad?
To me, it's just as bad, because what happened is you're convincing somebody to get something, and just because they don't understand it and they're going to do this on faith, faith is a wonderful thing. And I've had many people say, hey, Joe, I trust you. And I say, well, thank God you can. I mean, let's face it. There's people out there. Look at Bernie Madoff. We use him as our worst example in the world. Had every bit of all the credentials in the world, you know, an RIA, you name it, he had it all. Supposedly the ultimate fiduciary, and he's in jail for the rest of his life because he's a thief. Well, that happens. So you have to put the picture together. But my goal,
faith in the Lord, Joe, is different than faith in your financial advisor. Is that what you're trying to say? In one case, you'll never be let down. In the other case, you could be.
You could be.
Absolutely.
You know, and the other side of the coin, back again to understanding goal. The people I was talking to today, in their mid-60s. Well, let's face it. Now, they're retired now. So they're looking at their fixed income, and now they've got this other investment income. And what do you want to do with that investment money? Well, I'd like to do this and like to do that with it all within this period of time. Okay, well, you can't do it the way you're in. I mean, it just isn't going to work. So you have to look at your goal and objectives and how you're going to get there. Anyway, anybody that needs information on stuff like that, that's what we try to teach on this show. And it's what our whole game plan is, to educate you, the consumer, and whether it's on the phone or whether it's in person, and if you can call in and ask certain questions, this is wonderful. Who was on this morning show? Alan, you got something?
Go ahead, Joe. You're asking me a question.
This morning we were talking about life insurance. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, one person says term insurance is the greatest thing in the world, and the other person says, well, not necessarily, because you have to look at what your goal is. Like, if you get 20-year term and you're 35 years old and your kids, the object is to protect your family and your kids in case you die, make sure they have college. But when you're 55, if you still want to get insurance, they may allow you for $5,000 or $6,000 a year to get that. But the bottom line is, your goal was to protect for the next 20 years. If your goal was not necessarily for the next 20 years, whole insurance, they've got universal life insurance, they've got all kinds of different ways to look, but people have to look at their goal, what they're trying to accomplish.
I think, Joe, the theory there is that as you get older and get closer to retirement, presumably you've already provided for your retirement through other assets, other accumulations, correct, whether they're 401ks, IRAs, or whatever, so that you have less dependence on that life insurance, exactly, need. Whereas when you were younger and you didn't have a lot of money, but you had children and a wife, right, or whatever to provide for, right, insurance was key.
Well, think about this. Let's say you got three or four kids at home, and they're from, let's say, 12 years old and under, and you've got a wife that's taking care of four kids, and if she's working part-time, she's overworked to start with four kids. But if you died, she is in deep trouble.
Right. She'd have to support the children on her own.
Yeah, very, very. So life insurance becomes a critical thing, just to make sure that she can continue to maintain a decent standard of living as if you were still alive. Now, again, and now the kids are all over 20-some years old. They've all gone to school. If they were going to go to school, it's not as critical anymore. So you got to wear the hat on both sides.
I think it's important to talk about changes, how things change. I started in the financial business in 1985, and in the late 80s, early 90s, I helped my clients meet their goals by buying a triple tax exempt, triple A rated Puerto Rican bonds. Well, they were terrific.
Wow,
back then.
They were good.
They always paid on time, a great yield. Obviously, now things have changed, but because of the Puerto Rican situation, if somebody comes to you and says, "I just want tax exemption with steady income," you'd be looking more at the annuity side of the equation than municipal bonds now. Do you have any Any reservations about municipal bonds?
None whatsoever. You know, if I talk about bonds, first of all, I do not like bond funds. Bond funds mix bonds in and out, in and out, in and out. They don't have a start date and they don't have an end date. I don't like bond funds. Now, there's a long dissertation with that. But individual bonds usually have a start date and an end date. And they usually sell for $1,000 a piece and they have an interest rate. And that interest rate is computed and that's going to be paid according to the rules of that bond. And when that bond runs full tilt, which could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, at the end you get your $1,000 back. Now, what happens during the course from the first day until the 30th year? Interest rates change, but yours stays the same. And if you want to sell your bond, the value of that bond can change pretty dramatically based on the current interest rate. As an example, some years ago, Alan, I had some 7% municipal bonds. Now, that's equivalent to almost a 10% return because they're tax-free. And I told my clients, I said, when you die, you make a note to your kids not to sell these under any circumstances because they can't replace them because now the municipals are in the 3%, 2% range. So the sevens were just a gift from heaven as far as income goes. But literally, tax-free municipals can work very good. I look very closely at where we live, and I look closely at municipalities here that I know. Makes me feel more comfortable to know if it's a school bond in let's say, St. Lucie County Schools. I feel pretty comfortable that they're going to go okay. If it's a bond in Puerto Rico, I would say, I don't think that's such a good deal right now.
Joe, let me ask you a question, though. If you had that 7% municipal bond, isn't there a lot of incentive for those municipalities to redeem those bonds?
Well, some of them can't.
There's such a bond that they can't redeem.
Some of them have an absolute date,
so they're stuck with a 7% forever.
Well, until whatever the term is. Yeah, it depends. Each bond has its as they underwrite them and they go, and that's just the way it is.
If they're callable, they can be redeemed early. But if they're non-callable, 7%, they're stuck with it.
The key is if it's non-call. And let me tell you what, there were some of those issued. You think those municipalities are happy? No.
No.
But, you know, hey, they at that moment, that was the market, and that's what they went for. Yeah. And, you know, we all look at interest rates today that are extremely low. There's nobody sitting in this room that would have ever dreamed that interest rates would be this low ever
for
again.
For this long.
And for this long.
Yeah.
Let alone be down in the 1% or less range for banks for and years now.
It kind of brings up the Fed, Joe. It leads right into that discussion about where do you think interest rates are going, and will the Fed actually raise rates?
Well, they
rates?
Can't go down. We know that. And what's happened is, by the way, all of the news in the last couple of days about the economy has been extremely strong,
right?
Much stronger than expected.
Yes.
So we are now expecting that interest rates will start to ease up even more aggressively. Maybe another quarter point between now and the end of the year, and maybe a whole point next year. You don't know. But the key is this. What the Fed is trying to do with interest rates is control inflation, let people work, but if we get inflation running too high, like when Carter was in the presidency, all of a sudden the Fed raised interest rates up tremendously. It just shut the economy down, which caused a recession, puts people out of work, but it stopped inflation.
People who were on the investment side, the plus side of that equation, made out very well. Rates were like 18% interest rates back then.
Unbelievable.
Mortgage people, if you borrow side of things, not so much.
Well, that's where real estate got killed and car loans got killed, and because people couldn't qualify, couldn't afford it.
I mean, mortgages were 13% back in 1979.
There
were
some 16 and 17.
1980.
There were up there.
It was up there.
So then that was when the neg-am mortgages came in, and all kinds of stuff happens. But literally right now, today, people say, Joe, what do you think the economy is going to do? And I say, my crystal ball has never worked, but if I'm going to be a betting man, if things continue on the road they are today, it's very, very good. Now, how long is that very, very good going to last? Major question.
Well, certainly the stock market is dependent on it.
Well, the stock market is a bit optimistic almost always, but they trade 6 months to a year in advance. So today's values are 6 months to a year out what they anticipate is going to happen. That's why the market keeps going up, and that's what happened under Clinton when it ran at 20-25% a year.
Many people feel that the stock market is going up because it's anticipating a good tax reform package.
That's
if
number
that
one.
Happens, then the values in the market are probably well warranted. But if it doesn't happen within the foreseeable future, that could cause a problem.
Also, there was a factor of the quantitative easing that the Fed had been doing all along, which wound up getting into the marketplace. But I think they're now sort of backing off. They're backing off that.
They said they're going to lessen their bond inventory now.
So this is all stuff that 99.99% of the people don't even care about because this doesn't work on your paycheck. But the reality is this. We, as quote professionals, we analyze the best we can to try to advise our clients the best we can to which way is the best way for you to make an intelligent decision. So 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, that's understandable. But you can call the show anytime. Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Karen will take your call and they'll take your name and number and we will call you back. And I say this because I know I have lost one or two people. I was going to call back and then I misplaced them and I feel guilty. But I've been known to do that once in a while too. So all I'm trying to say is it isn't that we don't care and it isn't that we're not trying to help. We are. So if we didn't do what we're supposed to do, please call back and chastise me a little bit, and then let me try to make up for it.
And let's not forget that if you decide to call Team Martech at 3 in the morning, we do have voicemail here at the station.
Very good. I like that. So do they have your home phone number?
Then they won't have it. No. No.
I thought you were being really a good guy.
Well, we have some insomniac listeners that aren't going to think about you until 3 in the morning.
There you go.
Hey, you can call me at 3 in the morning. I may even talk to you, but I guarantee you I won't remember it. And I have done that. I don't know if you've ever done that, but people have called me back and say, Joe, how come you never call me back? And I said, call you back from what?
3 o'clock in the morning. To you.
Yeah. And I said, when? Last night. Really? 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. So there's lots and lots and lots of ways that people can have their money invested, and most people are not too happy with the bank these now because making that 0.5% or 1% is just not too exciting. But people want to say, hey, I don't want risk. Well, you have to look at what the risks are, and you have to look at it intelligently. And if you don't understand it, don't do it. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
That's good advice. If you don't understand it, don't do it.
That's it.
That's what questions are for. If you don't understand something, ask.
So you've got to learn what the pros and cons are, because there's nothing out there that is all one-sided. Everything. Like I was talking to these people today, you know, about REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust. They have to pay out 90% of their profits every 3 months. And I said, I like them. And real estate seems to be a hot ticket for a period of time. So most of these things are paying a very good dividend, 10, 12%. I said, but there is a negative. You got to pay me. Can you imagine that?
Hmm. I know. It's hard to imagine. You actually work for pay?
Can you imagine? I said, it's really hard being a philanthropist when you don't have money.
But you have ideas.
So the key is this. You have to understand what you're paying. And these people were really upset because they were never divulged all the fees that they were going to be paying on this investment they had. And some of the things that I've got, that certain instruments don't have any fees. You might have to pay a commission up front one time, but you don't have any ongoing fees. And that's kind of a rare thing, but
What happens in those cases? The company pays you, and so they don't pay. So the investor doesn't pay.
No, the reverse. The investor pays me up front. Let's say they give me $100,000 and I charge 2%. They give me $2,000 of that $100,000, $98,000 goes to work.
No, well, you said that sometimes there are no fees. Well, but I guess the assumption is that you got to get paid one way or the other.
Now.
So either it comes from them or it comes from the insurance company.
Yes. Right? The answer is yes.
Okay.
No matter what, I get paid.
Somebody has to pay you.
I've tried working for nothing, and it's really hard to pay your rent when you don't have income.
Accept that. There's a reason not to pay your mortgage.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So if I tell the mortgage people, hey, the reason I'm not paying you this month is because I decided to work for free,
they'd
understand that.
No. Yeah. Well, I guarantee you they wouldn't.
I guarantee they wouldn't. Exactly.
He's missing the big advantage for working for nothing. He never would have to file a tax return.
Well, this is true.
What a deal.
It is a deal.
Hey, what is the threshold now for not filing at all?
Depends on your status.
Let's say you're a single over 65. Does it make a difference?
$6,000, I think, $6,500, something like that.
Now, if you get standard.
I'm sorry, if you're single?
Yeah.
Yeah, single, right.
Now, if you have that's that you have standard deductions, might take you up to 10 or 15.
Well, if you're married, the standard is 12.5 under the current law. If you're single, it's 6,300.
That's your standard deduction.
That's your standard deduction.
So if you earn 6,300 bucks, you're below the threshold. You don't even have to file. And sometimes, if you're only collecting Social Security,
if you're only collecting Social Security, no requirement to file.
No requirement. Yeah. So, and then if you pick up another $5,000 on top of your Social Security, you're still below the threshold. Are
yeah,
you?
you may be.
Maybe,
yes,
but it's good. It's good to find out.
Yes.
Anyway, there are rules out there, and there's tons of them,
yep.
and they don't stay the same, unfortunately.
And there's no cookie cutter answer to every question.
No.
Depends on the everyone is
every
a little
circumstance.
Different. Every circumstance is a little different.
1-888-221-8990. Nobody loves us this week.
No, we had absolutely no call.
Well, we had one.
Oh, sorry, one call.
One phone call.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
I would say because there was so much rich information given that people are still thinking about what they've heard. This is not a case of no one loves us.
You know, Pastor Dave woke up because it took him a while to figure that out.
Yeah, but now Pastor Tom is sleeping over there.
That's it. I feel better now. We got to have one of the two of them.
We can't both be asleep at the same time. FCC rules.
SEC. SEC or FCC?
FCC.
FCC. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now remember, the group consists of Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. That word independent means he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for you, and under his umbrella are roughly 100 companies. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor alive. And I mean, she is an unbelievably hardworking person. And Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. So we try to answer most of the things that the average person has. We try to educate. And what we don't do, we can always talk to you off the air. 1-888-221-8990, and we're down to about...
Well, we're coming up on 1 minute.
One minute.
But we're not there yet. It's a minute and 15.
Minute and 15.
Did you mention Greg Fasula?
I did
mention. Oh, okay. I want to make sure you don't forget poor Greg.
Remember poor Greg in probate?
Yes.
I often joke, if you die with $1 million estate that's subject to probate because you didn't do the $1,200 trust, the fees that an attorney can charge are $30,000.
That's right, on
$1 million. And it might take 6 months to a year to get it settled, where if you'd had a trust for $1,200, give or take, you might be a couple months.
Yes, absolutely.
So, anyway, it's just the interesting
Let's
facts.
Let's get into that next week.
Yes, yeah. We should.
Well, I'd like to have Greg here so I can pick on him while we're doing it.
Well,
you know.
Get him over here and let him get on the air with us.
We've got to make this boy show up, you know.
He hasn't been on this station for a while.
Not for a while. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Even though we gave a prayer today, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of hurting people that are families, members from Las Vegas. It's just a good thing to keep these people in your prayer.
Absolutely.
We want to thank you very much for our one call. I guess Tom's getting a couple calls now.
He's getting calls now,
that
so
we don't
we'll
have
those.
Time to get them on the air, but that's only right. We're working time. This is good.
That's it.
Until next week, thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 3535.